The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 424. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brian Manjoma.
Hey, Disney, do you know the definition of insanity?
Yo, man, I don't think they do. They keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect it to work, and no. What did we have this week? We had the Little Mermaid and we had the Peter Pan. It's like, okay.
Yep. One's going.
Yeah.
Peter Pan's going to Disney Plus.
Oh, really? Interesting. Hey, Brett just showed up.
Hey, what up, people?
What's going on? All right. A couple of things. So no Adam action tonight. He has a headache. He needs to recoup. And Chris may show up later. They're having storms over there. So, yeah. All kinds of crazy weather in Texas. Right, Carlos?
It's snowing, man. It snowed for a little bit today, and it's the first time I saw snow in a while, and it's March, which
is crazy. Yeah, I didn't know it even snowed in El Paso. I'm like, what?
Yeah, man. It's, that's crazy. You know, it's a rare occurrence. I don't know what's going on. World's ending.
Yeah, and then it snowed in L.A. too. I saw some people, like, I thought it was like fucking a doctored image, like the the hills behind the Hollywood sign, it all covered in snow. I'm like, huh? Like
it actually does happen every so often when, you know, it has to do with the jet stream that comes across the United States. If it adjusts slightly, it brings, you know, certain like snow and more cold to certain areas. And, you know, at that point in time, when they were having snow, we were like, it was warm up here.
Yeah. I saw some people, they posted like a bunch of snow came down in like Nevada or whatever. It's like, and if somebody goes like, yeah, I came to visit Las Vegas, Canada, you know,
he's over there. I can't remember. Gamer tag.
Paris?
Know, him. No, not Paris.
Danny?
Danny. Yeah. Danny was driving on the highway and I'm like, yo, man, I bet you didn't think you'd be using the East Coast style driving over there.
You know? Yeah, man. Oh, Chris is here. Let's go. Right. Yeah. Chris, we're just talking about the crazy weather you guys in Texas are having.
I don't know where that came from, man. It just blew through and people's like garbage cans started just flying this fucking street. Yo, I picked my shit up. I'm like, oh, because the HOA will come around.
Uh-oh. Bring your dogs inside.
It's been mad freaking windy here too, man. It's crazy.
Oh, it was nuts. It was like perfectly fine and calm. And then like, so I thought a fucking tornado was going to happen.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm glad you're safe, man.
All good, man.
Chris, you have to flex those East Coast driving and snow and rain skills.
Oh, yeah. Well, everywhere outside New York, people lose their minds, right? Outside the Northeast, like, if there's ice or snow, and then people just don't know what to do. Or you get the guys, and there's a lot of people with pickup trucks down here, right? A ton of fucking Ford F-150s, 350s, dualies driving around, and they don't give a fuck if there's ice, snow, whatever. They're going 80, 90 miles an hour, and then I'm like, it doesn't matter how big or how many tires is on your fucking truck, you're going to slide. And then sure enough, I see these motherfuckers in barriers and shit. Like, yeah, you're stupid.
Damn. Hmm. Wasted Warlord, man. Long time no see, brother.
Yo, nice yo.
See you. Good stuff. And of course, we got some of the regulars in there. Logic Wins, Mighty Nerd, and Barry Burton making sure nobody acts out of pocket. You know, Pike Huhan, I see you there too. Good stuff. You know, who is this Eurocar guy? I don't know who that is.
Oh.
I think he asks questions sometimes. You know?
Be honest, Toby. Nobody knows.
Yo, yeah, that's true. Very mysterious guy. All right, so this week was interesting, to say the least. I wouldn't say there are any megatons, but actually there was one potential megaton, at least for some of us in here, you know. But, you know, we'll get to that soon. Anyway, we got to talk about Xbox, as we usually have to do on this show. Because remember, this whole deal is still ongoing, the whole Activision Blizzard deal. We're going to get in depth into that. But one of the interesting things that came out of this, you know, made headlines everywhere, was Phil Spencer saying that Xbox will exist if the Activision Blizzard deal falls through. The reason I think he had to say is because a lot of people were just under the interesting assumption that Xbox would be no more if this deal went through. You know, if it didn't happen, I'm like, it's kind of odd.
No,
but it was enough for the guy who runs Xbox to make this clear.
It's just like, no, we'll still be here.
You know, it's things like this and the whole like Game Pass cannibalizes game sales that makes me actually like wonder if some of these people actually understand how not just the industry but like basic economics work.
No, there's a lot of people, dude. I know stuff like that gets Tony mad. I see shit that gets. Remember when I did the whole thing on Nintendo's War Chest? Remember people are saying, well, if Nintendo had a burn rate of $3 million a year, they would last for like 67 years. I'm like, do you understand how fucking money works? Dude, you don't think there's corporate taxes or anything? Do you understand that they have to pay salaries and fucking, you know, land fees and all sorts of corporate taxes and all sorts insurance of oversight and all this shit? But no, all of a sudden, if they get $3 million, they just have a money bin like Scrooge McDuck and they just swim in it and they could hold out for 67 years. It doesn't make any sense. I hate when I see shit like that.
Yeah, it's so stupid, you know? Or like, they, you know, we see that with movies too. It's like, oh, this movie made double what it cost. It's profitable. No, it's not. You know, it has to make like what, four times more or something like that. You know, because of all this other shit that's like in account. You know,
double is normally break even, like close to break even.
Right.
So that's break even.
But you have to make more than double, right? You know, because they never factor in. Movie budget doesn't factor in like marketing.
Right? Yeah, external marketing, exactly.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, no, people are just stupid. So yeah, but again, it got to a point where Phil Spencer had to like explicitly state this because people just thought that the future of Xbox hinged on this deal. And if it didn't go through, the division was gone. You know, it was like, okay, how? Like, I don't get that. But why? You know?
I'm sure it's just somebody saying, yo man, if this deal don't go through, they done.
It's over.
But no, even Andy Robinson, here's like, he's a journalist. He goes, regardless of Phil Spencer's words, I know a lot of industry pundits think Microsoft selling off Xbox is a genuine possibility. Should this be blocked? I still expect to go through with concessions. I don't know. Yeah. Like you said, Chris, it's a bunch of idiots. You know, basically, you know, they're just saying like, Microsoft's going to sell off Xbox if this doesn't happen.
Like, that's what? Ridiculous because they would not be fighting these multiple legal battles in the EU and over here and lawsuits and all this stuff. If Microsoft really was like, fucking, we're sweating about the Xbox division, they would have given up this fight in 2 seconds. They would have been like, Sony got us. Just fucking pull the money back out of escrow. We'll walk away from the table. That's it. We're done. If that was the case, they wouldn't be. They got to spend millions of dollars in for legal fees. I mean, like tens of millions of dollars. They're being attacked on multiple fronts. They got to do discovery in the EU. They got to talk to the UK's fucking whatever they got. And then over here, the FTC. Then there's private lawsuits. They're just throwing money at all of this shit.
The E3 committee.
Yeah. But, you know, they're just spending all this money trying to get this deal to go through. You don't do that and then go, well, guess the deal didn't go through. I would just sell Xbox and give up. No, they would have given up the deal before that.
I don't understand where this is coming from. I really don't, man. And again, this isn't just coming from like crazy fanboys. This is supposed industry people, you know, saying this nonsense. Microsoft selling Xbox because the Activision. Me saying that makes me sound stupid, you know? But yeah, no, this thing's going to go on. But there's some interesting things going on. So earlier this week, basically, Microsoft signed some exclusivity deals, even before earlier this week, some exclusivity deals or whatever, or deals in general with Nintendo, right? With NVIDIA, GeForce Now. And now because of that, apparently, you know, the FTC, is it the FTC or, you know, whatever the fuck it is, they're kind of backing off.
In the U.S., it's FTC.
Yeah, yeah. So they're backing off. They're like, okay. You guys aren't actually a monopoly, even though they weren't to begin with. So I believe that, you know, the CMA, which is the equivalent over there in the EU, they're probably going to go with whatever the FTC says, you know. So I think we may finally see the end of this madness happen, you know, or come.
Just in time for the fiscal year to end.
Yeah, ain't that something, you know? Ain't that something? But here's the thing. This deal wasn't going to be finalized until June of this year anyway, right? It's just we would have had all this preamble if it wasn't for Call of Duty being involved. Let's be honest. That's the main reason why all this is happening, you know? I could just imagine some congressmen's kids, "Dad, they're going to take my Call of Duty." You know, what? We got to fight them.
Let me call the lobbyists.
Just buy him an Xbox.
Yeah, you could do that. You got the money, you know.
Yeah, I've been seeing some stuff about the EU. It's looking more and more likely that they're just going to confirm this deal. And there's been a couple of other places that have already confirmed it. So yeah, the EU was the CMA was one of the big ones, and the FTC is the biggest one.
Yeah.
And
I'll put out one more thing. I think all these guys have it backwards. I would not worry about Xbox or Microsoft if this deal fell through. I would worry about Activision
Blizzard
if the deal fell through. You're looking at the wrong guy. It's like Bobby Kotick is over there sweating, hoping this shit goes through. Right?
It's his gold parachute.
Yeah, right? His parachute's on the line. He doesn't have enough millions already, but whatever. He and the rest of that company, they don't know what they would do if this deal fell through. I guarantee it. You're looking at Xbox. Xbox is fine if this doesn't happen.
Yeah,
they are questionable if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'm glad you stated that exactly. It's like, yeah, Xbox is gonna be fine. Activision, they're the ones that are sweating here. You know, well, no one's talking about that, which is interesting.
Well, when Activision, the people that are sweating it are the people that own stock in Activision, because they're gonna be in for a payday, a massive one, because their stock. When Microsoft bought them, their stock value, they overvalued their stock by a lot, and the economy only tanked after the deal went through. So yeah, they want this deal to go through because they're going to be making bank.
Oh, sure. Let me buy some shares real quick, you know, make that money. But yeah, it's going to happen. I know, you know, because I do have to bring up the fanboys, obviously. They're not going to be happy about that. You know, I saw the Xbox guys clowning the PlayStation guys on Twitter over this, you know, after the FTC was like, okay, maybe you guys aren't evil, you know, because, you know, now if this deal happens, because there were some dudes that were wishing it wasn't going to happen, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, like, do you even play Call of Duty? You just don't want Microsoft to get that win, you know.
Oh, they just want the ammo.
That's what it is. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. So yeah, I mean, this story develops like every week, so we'll be on top of it. But baby Pactors out there, Otaku man, yo, you're right about that with these pundits. You know, like go ahead.
By the way, the price that Microsoft is paying per stock is $95 for the Activision deal, and it's currently at $77. So yeah, it's
right. So they're overpaying.
Oh wow! Oh, interesting.
Yeah. That's what it was valued at when they started the deal. So they have to, but yeah.
Yeah. They honor that price, no matter how down the economy goes or how down the Activision stock goes, they have to honor it.
So I just want to say, like, this isn't just executives. This is like anybody who, a lot of people working at companies like this have stock options. So I just want to point this out for like the next time everybody rallies around and bitches about like, oh, we care so much about the developers. Do you? Do you really?
Yeah, a lot of companies do stock-based compensation. For the employees, it's pretty common. So I wouldn't be surprised if a good chunk of their employees have stock in the company.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to be making bank, boy.
That's right.
You know, and like you guys said, Kotick will get his golden parachute. Cause I said this before, he's gone, man. Some way, somehow he will be gone. I guarantee that.
Well, nobody wants him. Yeah. He doesn't want to be there. They don't want him there. Nobody. Like it's just a, you're lucky this came around when it did, because otherwise your ass would have just been fucking fired.
Well, it wasn't that he was lucky. Remember, they were the ones trying to sell themselves because of this nonsense, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what it is. People forget that. They're like, oh, Xbox is just gobbling shit up. No, they came to Xbox and they're like, okay, sure, we'll buy you. Why not? You
know, please, dear God, buy us because our company is burning down.
Yeah, we and get rid of this guy. Oh man. But yeah, you know, there's a couple of things that happened this week with this whole deal. But you know, I'm kind of getting tired of talking about it. But we have to, you know, kind of have to talk about it. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's move on to some happy news. Brett,
what
do you remember what you said on the Sunday show? You said it was a throwaway line too. You said,
I said, let's fucking go.
Yeah, you said, where's that fucking Elden Ring DLC? Guess what, man? It's coming. So Shadow,
it's like I felt it, the force.
Yeah, man,
coming along the horizon.
So yeah,
you're like, it's your about soul. Time.
Yeah. So yeah, go ahead.
Looked over and I saw a glass of water vibrating on my table, and then I knew.
Yes. But yeah, so it seems like, because we don't know, but it says that it's currently in development. So maybe it was a case. No, it could be because they had to have been working on this, right? Because I was wondering if they just go, shit, this game's doing well, we got to do a DLC. But they've always done expansions for these games, you know. So it had to be coming. And we don't have any definitive release date or release window or nothing, but I'm happy about it.
Here's the thing. A development cycle usually has them coming off of like a mainline franchise and then start to work on the DLC. But I think they pretty much just shifted them over to Armored Core for this one. So I think they had to finish some Armored Core shit before they could circle back to the
Elden
Ring. Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
No, you're right. You're right. I didn't think about that. No, because usually DLC starts being developed during like the game, you know, itself. But yeah, I think you're right. I forgot about Armored Core. You're right about that. I think there was some new news about that too. I don't know if anybody could look that up. I think they just posted it in the throwdown chat of some Armored Core news. Look around. But yeah, I'm hyped for this, man. Again, we don't know when the hell this is coming. What's up?
Armored Core 6 pre-orders on PS5, PS4, Xbox are only $60.
Ooh.
Same prices.
Ooh.
Very interesting.
It's a PS4 game?
Yeah. Oh, and Segway Kings, man. So that's the interesting thing, because I was wondering, will this DLC for Elden Ring, you know, be current gen only? And let me explain, because I said this on Twitter. People got fucking like, Tony, you're crazy. How dare you suggest something like that? Final Fantasy VII Remake, Horizon Forbidden West, and Cyberpunk either have or will have current gen only DLC. So I was just wondering / hoping that would be the case. But nope, turns out it's going to be coming to PS4 as well, you know. But the thing is,
hold on a second.
What's up?
I understand this happens sometimes, but like, why would you be hoping in this instance? It's not like the DLC is going to get a graphical overhaul.
No, not that, only but like, imagine that, like, for the same reason I'm glad Cyberpunk is going to be like current gen only. We're gonna see what we could I would like to have seen what you could really do with this world in with current gen technology. Understand? It's a moot point now. It doesn't fucking matter. You know?
Well, no.
It's not like it's gonna get any better if the DLC is just locked down to one thing.
Yeah, I'm not even talking about graphics, remember, Brett. You even said this. All the stuff you could do underneath. You know?
Souls games are fairly optimized, man. Like, yeah. This isn't pushing the you know, it's not like it's a shaky, bloated game that needs it to run because it barely.
No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just wondering. I was just like,
Cyberpunk. Come on,
yeah.
PS4 Cyberpunk is bullshit.
Yeah,
always has been, always will be.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I guess you agree with Kotaku's article that got him a bunch of heat this week.
It shouldn't have been on the PS4 to begin with.
No, they were saying that this game will never be good no matter what you do.
No, it just shouldn't have been on the PS4.
I agree with you. I've been saying that since day one, you know?
Yeah, like, I'm not measuring against some, like, theoretical high water markets. It's just strictly, does the game run well on last-gen consoles? No. Could you have probably expanded a little bit if it were on current-gen consoles? Based on what I've seen, yeah. But, like, Elden Ring kind of seems done, unless they wanted to just go full Blue Point on it, which I don't know, man.
Probably not going to do that. But you know me, man. I'm just in general, just can we please let go of last gen? But it seems like we're not going to do that yet.
Yeah.
But I will say this to kind of counter Brett's point a little bit. It's not a hard counter, it's a soft counter.
Okay.
Elden Ring did have some performance issues. It wasn't absent of that. I mean, it did have a lot of frame rate issues when it came when you're riding your horse, or your torrent or whatever.
I guess that's true. Do you think that's? I don't know. I guess I would put optimization and bloated code in different campsite guess. But like, yeah. I mean, it didn't seem like it ran. It was pushing it, especially after the patches came. I thought that was just patchy stuff, but that could be wrong.
Yeah.
We could live in a different world where we could be seeing Unreal Engine 5. Yeah. I mean, if they had pushed their graphics, yeah, they could have done a lot. But, like, I love you from software, but they never really push the graphics that hard. Like, that's never been what that company's about.
Yeah, I know. I wasn't even talking about that. But, again, it doesn't matter. It's coming to PS4 anyway, which is good if you have the game. But, like, damn. I mean, this DLC probably won't be coming out for, like, what, another year at the earliest? So we're still going to be getting like old gen games at that point, you know.
And this is where I reside with the Souls experts. For the previous DLC, is there usually a big buffer time between an announcement of a DLC and?
Oh, it's usually pretty quick.
It's really quick, yeah. Like this took a while to get announced, a whole year actually. You know,
yeah, a whole year, and then they just mentioned that it's in development.
Yeah, so. Yeah, because usually, yeah, the guys are right. It's like they get announced fairly soon, not like the next week afterwards, but like a couple months later. You know,
mm-hmm. We'll probably see it by the end of the year.
Hopefully,
yeah, I hope so.
That'd be nice. But yeah, no, very good news, man. Very, very good news indeed. You know,
I do want to say I thought it was fucking hilarious. Of all people, Power Wash Simulator on Twitter responded that. Glad we weren't planning on announcing anything anytime soon. Congratulations.
Okay.
They get it. You don't announce anything when Elden Ring walks into the room.
Okay.
Not at this point. Not unless you want to follow Horizon again.
What does Horizon want to go 2-for-2?
Maybe they want to... Yo, shit. Yeah, they'll, right?
They'll just release that VR game on the same day.
Yeah, right. Imagine if that VR game came out like when this was announced. That would have been hilarious.
If they announced a VR game and then Elden Ring swoops in and drops its DLC, the memes will never end.
Yeah, right. Oh man. All right, good stuff. All right, what do we have here? We gotta talk about this, man. Luminous Productions is being folded into Square Enix because Forspoken didn't do so well.
What? No.
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 How could that be?
Yeah, it's a big shock here, you know?
If you think about it, it's sort of sad because it put so much effort into that engine, but it was way too difficult to develop for. Even their own studio had difficulties with it. So
that was the only thing they put effort into.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think this game would if this game was actually received well, the studio would still be around, you know.
Oh yeah, but I mean, like if you look at like the, like how many years between the two games, like they really just couldn't pull it off, and you know, it's unfortunate, I think.
Yeah, I saw a meme. It's just a still image that had a. Like a image of the girl. She's like, I killed the whole studio with my freaking mind. It's hilarious.
Oh, shit.
Oh man. But yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I think you're about to answer my question.
Maybe. Yeah. Basically they're going to keep working on the game, patching it and working on the DLC, which nobody asked for. So yeah, yep. Which is coming in their summer. So there you go.
They still need to leverage something, however much that engine cost.
Yeah.
So I foresee after this point in time that engine's going to get dropped. Luminous is going to get dropped.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. Especially when you have most of your companies, that engine was supposed to be the company engine, but they couldn't get it. They couldn't get it finished in time for any of the projects. What was it? Final Fantasy VII was supposed to run on it. Kingdom Hearts was supposed to run on it. You know.
So for this DLC, what is a 30-50% attach rate of nothing?
Heh. Yeah, I would be so curious about sales of this fucking game, but I'm pretty sure it was shit. You know.
It's like, yeah, your DLC isn't going to sell primary copies. Like, that's not how DLCs work. You're going to get a diminished return of the pathetic sales that you made for it.
Once you cut your losses at this point?
Like, yeah, take the L and go home. Just take your bat and go home, man.
Yeah.
Tony, we all know that when a company doesn't release the sales figure of a game, it might not have done all that well.
Yeah, this is true.
Oh, how many miles walked before spoken?
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, Tony, you didn't get it.
Is it a Horizon joke?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course it is. It's always a Horizon joke. I got it, man. That's like, that comes with the territory, you know?
Horizon is a joke.
Oh, no, I got it, Brett. Forspoken DLC is going to launch around Elden Ring. and then the world will be perfect.
Oh, man.
The perfect L from this.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the...
Oh, yo, Chris, so the Elden Ring DLC won't be the only tarnished thing to come out?
Yeah. I'm waiting for the stupid think pieces that are going to blame people, you know, for being ists, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
nah, no one's going to care about the DLC about this game. People barely cared about the game itself.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about with the game. Yeah, because I heard that already, like when the game first came out. They're like, oh, if you don't support this game, you're an ist, you know? But, yeah, that's a great way to get people to buy your product, you know?
I can see it now. Toxic Elden Ring players don't give other games room to breathe.
Yeah, because they don't like Elden Ring.
Oh, they'll do that too, yeah.
It's crazy, man.
I hope Elden Ring DLC comes out this year, because I have a feeling that a lot of the stuff that I'm looking forward to is going to get delayed.
Oh, damn, the segue right now, man. Let's get into it. So, Carlos, I think you and I, maybe Chris, are the only ones who care about this. So I threw it in here, man. We got to talk about that Final Fantasy 16.
Uh-oh.
You know? Manny, that was unreal, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's unreal. And I like to call it Devil May Fantasy.
Yes, and I'm glad you say that, because they literally got one of the Devil May Cry guys in there to help with the combat system, you know. But yeah, we got like a new gameplay and all that, right? Obviously, you know, that's what other podcasters are like, oh, did you see the gameplay? You know? but I want to talk about some of the things around it, which are very interesting to me. First up, Sony PlayStation helped with the development of this game, you know, which is pretty interesting. Like, not the whole development, just like the final part of it or whatever, just to, you know, get things going. That's pretty interesting. And then apparently the game is like a 6-month exclusive on PlayStation until it comes to PC. No word on Xbox, obviously, you know. And they were just talking about how you go ahead.
Do you think that could have anything to do with the fact that Sony has a long and storied past of buying exclusives from Square?
It could be, you know, but again, you know, every company does that shit, you know, buying exclusives, so nothing to see there. What was the other thing? Oh, yeah, they also said why the game couldn't be on last gen, and they basically said, like, you know, we need the fast SSD and all that, and they talked about how you could be in a cutscene and then it'll automatically go to gameplay. It won't just be like, you know, you have to, like, wait for the loading screen or all that, which is pretty cool, you know?
You don't have to go into an in-between world where you have to hear a talking head.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's looking good. So yeah, like, I mean, I've been talking about this game since the beginning. Like, this is probably going to be like the first game that's going to make me feel like I'm actually in the next generation, you know? And it looks crazy. I wonder if it is going to play like Devil May Cry, you know, cause that had really good combat, but it'll be interesting having Devil May Cry combat in a Final Fantasy game, you know?
Well, to be honest, I feel like in general, a lot of the combat in most of those games, as decent as they are, they really need to start thinking of themselves as legitimate action games.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you.
Because that's what they are now.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're right, because like the action RPGs, they still try to have that one toe in the RPG part, and it doesn't really, it kind of clunksifies it. I know it's not a word, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, just go full on action. Just do that, you know?
Yeah, Tony, I recently replayed Final Fantasy 15 to get the platinum finally.
Yeah.
The thing that I kept noticing is just how ass backwards the combat is. It's like,
yeah.
Like Manny mentioned, it's trying to, it's doing a toe dip in the action, it's doing a toe dip into the what do you call it? The
RPG.
The turn-based stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it just doesn't fit, and hopefully, you know, we'll see with this with this new direction. But yeah, the combat definitely has to improve, because if Final Fantasy 15 is any indication of what the combat we have to look forward to with the 16 is, it might not be that good.
Yeah, but
I'm don't blame that shit on RPG. Right, like, RPG just means you can build out your character or system the way that you want it. Right, like
I said turn based.
He said turn based. To be fair,
I will say that in general, like the action, as you know, as they've gotten on, you know, Square has gotten better at action, you know, doing action games. But I still think they have a lot to learn, and I feel like the best way to do that is to hire somebody who's good at doing action, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this will
the reason why the action in Nier Automata is so good because they had all the fucking, you know, Bayonetta guys working on it.
Yeah.
So?
Yeah.
The interesting thing is with this game is you have multiple people in your party. I'm guessing that's what 16 is going to do as well. So might be a little, hopefully it doesn't get too clunky, you know, with the combat if you're worried about different people in the teams.
Yeah, but and I want to make this clear, right? I would prefer if this game were turn-based, but if you're going to go action, go all in. So that's why I'm saying, yeah, just go full on action. Don't half-ass it, you know?
In general, like action like RPGs and stuff like that, they appeal to you know, to more a more generalized audience. You know, people that are not into that sort of stuff. But, you know, again, like, and for them to pivot right now, to go back to turn-based.
It's impossible.
I think they probably could never do it.
No, they can't, you know, because Final Fantasy is the biggest RPG franchise out there. You know, JRPG. Oh, we got to talk about that term in a little bit. So, yeah, they can't do it. You know, they even said, like, yeah, we went action because we want a bigger audience. They know what's up.
Exactly.
So the JRPG fiasco, is it an American studio making a game and they're calling it a JRPG?
Oh no, it's the director of Final Fantasy 16. He actually said that Japanese don't like that term, apparently. They don't like the term JRPG. Yeah. So that's you know, I'm tying it all together. It's like it's coming from this. During one of the interviews he just said, you guys have use this term, but it's not something, because they felt that when Americans use that term, it was in a derogatory sense. He has admitted that in recent years, it's not a bad connotation, but for a long time, Japanese developers saw that term as derogatory, you know, which is pretty interesting. And I want to talk about that real quick, right? Because a lot of people were under the assumption, and I'm not saying it didn't exist, right? But a lot of people are under the assumption that this has always been a ubiquitous term. I never even heard the term JRPG until 2008 when I got on N4G, right? I was like, what the fuck is a JRPG? You mean RPG? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? But since then, since it's become popular, now it is a thing. Like when you say JRPG, you know what you're getting into. Now you say WRPG, you know what you're getting into. But I didn't know that the Japanese themselves didn't like the term. But it kind of makes sense, I guess, you know. But at the same time, you could say a JRPG and WRPG are actually fundamentally different. You know, like,
I've never heard WRPG before, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that came Western RPG. Western RPG. That came with JRPG, you know.
I never heard that term before.
Yeah, yeah. But basically, it's like
I only heard RPG and then JRPG. And that was just to differentiate the type of RPG, you know, which was considered a traditionally Japanese one, which was the turn based.
But basically, like, you know, JRPG, everybody knows what a JRPG is, you know, Final Fantasy,
Dragon Quest, and then a
WRPG would be, you know, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Mass Effect, that type of stuff, you know.
But the thing about it is, it's like, there is definitely a difference between those types of RPGs. But how come, you know, the thing about it is like there isn't a JRPG. The only thing that, again, like before, that was the deciphering factor was the fact that they were turn-based. But the fact that turn-based is not even a full, not can't be fully, can't be attributed to Japanese RPGs anyways, because that all comes from Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, both versions of RPGs, Western and Japanese, they all, you know, their root is Dungeons and Dragons, right? Which is turn-based, like you said, right? But then they kind of both went in different routes, where the Western RPGs were more about customization and building your own story, kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, and JRPGs were more about centralized characters going through an adventure, you know?
And a strategy.
I mean, strategy, you had that in Western too, but Westerners more, they stopped leaning as much on the turn-based stuff as the Japanese did. Even though, here's another thing, because a lot of people like to say, oh, the games were only turn-based because of technology. No, it's actually because of Dragon Quest, believe it or not. There were a lot of action RPGs during the like early mid-80s, but when Dragon Quest blew up, Dragon Quest heavily inspired by Dragons and Dragons, by the way, it was like, okay, this is what's popular. We got to be turn-based now, Japanese side, you know?
When you say that they were real based on Dungeons and Dragons, how?
What do you mean how? That's literally where...
I mean, as a dungeon master, fucking how? Because a classic JRPG has almost nothing to do with Dungeons and Dragons.
It's a turn-based system.
Yeah, that's Brett, just to go back. Okay, so Brett, you... I mean, I could look this... You could literally look this up. You know, Western RPGs are, you know, inspired by Dungeons and Dragons, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Japanese... were inspired by Western RPGs, so basically.
That's where the link was. Okay,
yeah. I'm not saying. Japanese didn't go, oh, we want to make something like Dungeons and Dragons. They go, we want to make something like those Western guys are doing. You know.
Okay, so it's kind of like, and I don't mean this to sound like it's a bad thing at all. It's kind of like the Japanese do sometimes, where they take a tone and setting and an idea, and they kind of run with it and they do their own thing. Like, you know. Full Metal Alchemist or Attack on Titan, you know, they're both kind of Eastern looks on Western culture.
Kind of. I mean, they, you know, those early RPGs and even current ones, they still had the stats and all that stuff. But yeah, you're right. They didn't go to the Dungeons and Dragons well. They went to the Western RPG well, which they got their stuff from Dungeons and Dragons, you know? So it's kind of like there's one degree of separation there, you know?
Game of Telephone.
Yeah, there you go. Game of Telephone.
I thought you were talking systems at first. I was like,
It wasn't like
that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, it wasn't like that. But
The Japanese still stayed doing turn-based as opposed to...
Yeah.
There's barely any turn-based Western RPG.
Yeah, no, you're right. They really went the action route.
The granddaddy of them all is coming out.
Which one?
Baldur's Gate.
Baldur's Gate, that's turn-based, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
yes,
like, you can follow Baldur's Gate almost actually to the beginning of RPGs in video games, and it was one of the first interpretations of the D20 system that was brought over and helped inspire a lot of their stuff.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. So, yeah, there's, you know, like you said, that's the granddaddy of them all, basically. So they do exist. What about the other Larian games? Are they turn-based?
Oh, yeah. And, like, when I hear Dungeons & Dragons base, like, that's what I think of. Usually it's a three, you know, usually an isometric 3D map.
Yeah.
It's got lots of different systems built into it. It's kind of got open-ended choice, not even necessarily in the story, but how you approach a problem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, whereas JRPGs, they had a turn-based system, but it was in a line. It was very, very narrative heavy. They didn't really want you to make your own character or play a way that you wanted to, like, this is Cloud. You are playing Cloud.
Yeah. And I think, again, that's the main distinction between JRPGs and Western RPGs. It's like Western RPGs, you get choices. You have a lot of choices. Japanese ones are more about, okay, you are this person and you're going on this awesome adventure, you know?
Well, classically, at least in the earlier ones, when you're playing somebody like, you know, when you're doing
Dragon Quest, actually, you are that character. No, yeah.
Well, yeah, no, Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy, it wasn't until later that Final Fantasy got rid of the naming system, but you could still name yourself all the way up to, like, I think Final Fantasy VIII?
Yeah, you could go Yeah, but man, you get the general point of it. It's like, you know, you are this character, you know, and you're going on their adventure, you know? It's more like that's not your adventure. You're going on their adventure. It's two different styles. I saw this great video on it where they broke it down like really, really well and stuff, like an hour long, like explaining why they're actually fundamentally different genres. And I agree with that assessment, you know?
Did Do you think anime storytelling had anything to do with that?
Oh, you mean with Japanese RPGs?
Well, I mean, just Japanese Japanese culture has always been a little bit more focused on true storytelling. You know, we have Michael Bay movies over here. They're having, you know, the movies and content with ideas. A narrative seems very important to Japanese-based stories, whereas it's a very much a Western idea of put yourself in blank shoes.
Yeah, maybe, you know. It's funny you mentioned that because that's also part of what he said. Like, they felt that when you said JRP, that we thought it meant anime crap, you know?
I mean, it's very much along your taste, like narrative.
No, I'm just saying that's what the producer of Final Fantasy 16 said about Japanese developers when they thought we used the term JRPG in a derogatory term, you know?
Yeah. Meanwhile, we just meant it for actually has a story.
Yeah, basically, you know, like, but again, they admit, like, okay, you know, they realize people don't see it as a really bad thing. I don't think, here's the thing, I get it. There are some people that go, JRPGs, fuck that. Like, I get that, but to some people, you say JRPG, like, oh shit, let's fucking go, you know? So it was never, like, ubiquitous that was a bad thing, but I guess they saw it that way, you know? It's an interesting conversation that got brought up. There's also other controversy with Final Fantasy 16, but we're not going to talk about that, you know, because you already know it's a game based on medieval Europe. They have a certain look about them, and you know what happened next. I'm talking about
modern day New York, right?
Yeah, basically, they wanted to reflect the modern world.
And bring out the Color Swatcher.
So we're not going to talk about that part, but that's been lobbied at the game too, you know?
Yeah, you know, in a world that has airships, I'll kind of let it slide there a little bit. Like, Final Fantasy has bunny people in it. Like, fucking whatever. It's whatever.
Yeah. Although I will say this one, I hate to take the side of the other people, but it's like, if you have like a race of people that are like living in the harsh desert, they're probably not going to have very light skin. I'll give them that. You know, I'll give them that. I'll give that side that, you know.
Hey, Tony, are there orcs in Final Fantasy 16?
Oh, no.
Oh, man, not to my knowledge. I hope they don't have any goblins either, you know.
That makes me mad. Yeah. I just need to say, fucking stop it, right? Like, in a day and age where the entire fucking world goes goblin mode, like, you got to take the goblins away? Fucking really?
Yeah. No, I have to bring that up with the Harry Potter game. I'm sorry. If you see a goblin and you think Jewish person, there's probably something wrong with you, man. If that's the first thing you think, that's on you, you know? Shit. But yeah, Final Fantasy 16. Carlos, so when is this shit coming out again? It's coming out this year. I know that.
It was this year, I think, around June? Let me take a quick
June 22. Let's fucking go.
Oh.
June 22. All right. 22nd.
Yep.
Oh, man. Good. And it's a current gen only game.
Yep. And, you know, we haven't heard anything in the contrary to think otherwise. But, you know, crossing my fingers, getting my lucky rabbit's foot, knocking on wood. Hopefully this shit doesn't get delayed like everything else.
Right. Shit. You never know. I've seen this one scene. This dude's fighting with beside a dog. That's pretty awesome.
They got dogs.
They got dogs. There you go.
Can you pet the dog?
Man, if you can't, this won't
literally be unplayable.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff, man. Okay, so we talked about the JRPG thing. Okay, so let's talk about some sales numbers. So Xbox Series X and S, because they count them both, they have sold 18.5 million. Versus PS5's 30 million. That gap is not as big as we thought.
Is it getting, it's not getting smaller, is it?
I'm not sure. Now, I want to know if this has to be worldwide, though. It can't just be America. You know, because I know in America, the gap is closer. Worldwide, it's a fucking gulf. You know, PlayStation's just left Xbox in the dust, you know? But yeah, that's not that much. Because I thought it was 2-1. If it was 2-1, it would be 15-30, you know? I mean, it's almost 2-1. But yeah, pretty interesting. What do you guys say about that?
Sounds smaller.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm the same as you and I went, it's 2-1. But like, I thought 2-1 was being a little generous, Microsoft. Yeah.
I don't have a frame of reference. Like, I'd have to look at, like, the same time in Xbox One's life versus PS4 if it was at this ratio. I don't know.
Yeah. So this is interesting. So this is from Ampere. So global console market, global. In 2021, Sony had 46.3%, Nintendo 28.2%, Microsoft 25.5%. And last year, 2022, Sony had 45%, Nintendo 27%, and Microsoft 27%. So basically, Sony went down one percentage point, so did Nintendo, and Microsoft went up two percentage points. So, yeah, pretty interesting.
Hmm. Amazing market movement.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Okay, so this is where the math isn't adding up to me. So if Microsoft has sold 18.5 million of the new Xboxes versus PlayStation's 30, this other article says PlayStation has 70% share of the global console market versus Xbox's 30%, according to Microsoft.
Maybe this is PS4 inclusion?
Maybe. It has to be PS4 inclusion.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense with just the new gen consoles.
Well, also, that second one just completely doesn't take Nintendo into account at all.
No, it doesn't. Microsoft said, fuck that. Oh, man.
That's what everyone does when they're trying to make a persuasive argument.
Okay, there we go. That stat I just gave you, it's in Europe. Maybe that's why Europeans, maybe they don't care about Nintendo. I don't know.
Wait, I thought it was a bigger gap in Europe.
No, in Europe, it's 80% PlayStation, 20% Xbox.
Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's pretty fucking big, you know? But yeah, pretty interesting. And I'm guessing it's just funny how we're getting these numbers now because Microsoft has to put everything out on the table, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's yeah.
let's see how pathetic we can make ourselves look.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is an instance of data doesn't lie, but liars use data.
Yeah.
I think this is probably just a bit misrepresented, but no more so than the rest of the game, I guess. So what, fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. I've been astounded by this whole thing of just the fucking sales pitch. Like it's like a negative sales pitch on both their sides. Like they're both trying to be like, no, this is gonna ruin us if this doesn't happen. It's just, I don't know, man. It just seems, the whole fucking system seems disingenuous. I don't even know how to play the game at this point.
Yeah. Oh, I just, man. You know, hopefully this month is the last month we get to, you know, because it is a topic of conversation every week because there's always something new popping up. Hopefully that, you know, fairly recent from now, we get to discuss that something happened. Either this shit got shut down or Nintendo or Activision is part of Microsoft. Because, man, I just, this is just, we've been going through this for over a year now and it's just keeps diluting the conversation, man.
Has it been over a year?
Oh, yeah. January of 2020?
Jeez. Yeah, it has been over a year then.
And it's still just going. Keeps getting dumber.
Yeah, it really does. Like, it just hasn't abated, you know? Even with the Bethesda things, like, we heard the news. Oh, wow, that's crazy. It's, you know, megaton, right? And then the next thing we heard, hey, they sealed the deal. Like, nothing happened in between, you know? But with this one, it's just every day almost, you know. Shout out to the Discord crew. You know, they're always keeping us on top of this stuff. It's crazy, man. But hopefully it'll all come to an end and, you know, we can move on with our lives. No more Phil Spencer featured images for you, Manny.
Running out of images, why, man.
Yeah. And no more. And no, yeah. Also, by the way, he's not here right now. But also, I want this deal to be done with now so freaking Adam can stop texting me about every single update. Because Adam, you guys don't know this. Adam is on top of everything. If there's one slide of news that happens about this, he makes sure to let me know. He's like,
It has to do with Xbox. And Adam is in love with Xbox. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. And Call of Duty, you know.
Yeah, and it's Call of Duty and Xbox. Two of his most favorite things on this planet.
Shit is hilarious, man. All right, what else do we have? Oh, shit, that's it. We don't have anything else, man. So what games have we been playing? We don't have Adam here, so this segment's going to be short. You know, Adam, he could fill in like half an hour by himself talking about games, you know, playing this, playing that, you know.
And that's before he gets to talk about the shit he's reviewing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm reviewing the new game on PlayStation. It's whack.
he's like, yeah, I'm reviewing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. And I'm like, yo, Adam, did you play that game like 10 years ago? Yeah, but now I'm playing it on the Switch.
It's different now. Oh, man. All right, I'll just go down the line here. Manny, have you been playing more Hi-Fi Rush?
Yeah, I actually went back and played a little bit of it because they put in the a photo mode. You know, so take some fun photos of all the different things in there. So yeah, I was playing a little bit today, and I was also testing it on my main system. My laptop is actually a pretty beast laptop. It can do like, you know, like ray tracing and all that stuff. But my main computer, I was just like, you know what, let me try this out, and it runs the damn game pretty awesome. So I'm like, all right, cool. But you know, obviously, I'm still playing it. I'm like, I'd much rather be playing in my living room. I don't want to sit on my work computer and do this. Okay. Anyway, yeah, there's that. And then I've been, you know, chipping away at EX Troopers. I'm like more than halfway done with the game, but you know, the game sort of opened up a little bit more now. So now I can go back to all the old bases and finish off missions, which I've already finished. But yeah, so that's it about now. And I think. As far as anything that's coming up, I don't know. I mean, I do have a couple of games that I need to play. I actually did buy No More Heroes 3, but I kind of want to finish No More Heroes 1 again.
Okay.
On you know, because I have the Desperate Struggle, I think it's called Paradise. No More Heroes Paradise for PS3. So I wanted to actually finish one because I played it on the Wii, but I wanted to finish that version. Yep, that's about it.
Good stuff. Carlos, you been playing anything?
No, unfortunately not. Been watching The Last of Us and gonna start watching The Mandalorian. So
yeah, man.
Some stuff is taking time, but no, nothing so far.
Yeah, same here. No games right now. I do have Dead Space, and I think there's something else, but you know, I'll get to it when I get to it. Yeah, so nothing for me right now. Brett, are you playing anything right now?
I'm fucking playing everything right now. I'm a bit shocked. I have video games.
Hey, what are you playing?
I'm playing. I'm still playing Hi-Fi Rush. I'm playing Atomic Heart, which I don't know if any of y'all have played.
That's the other one I have on my list. Like, I want to play that one. Yeah.
Okay.
So Brian was playing it.
No, I dissuaded by the Metal Gear-esque cutscenes, which, you know, it wasn't too bad. It's a long intro into the game, but, like, has anybody else here been playing it? Because it is not what I expected at all.
I have been playing it, and I'll let you know my thoughts on it after.
Okay, cool.
I gotta say, this game, like, I was expecting it to be kind of Bioshock. That's kind of how it presented itself. I think, mechanically and fundamentally, it is not. This game is closer to Resident Evil, to be real honest with you. Like, it's slow. The enemies are difficult. There's not a whole lot of surplus of ammunition and whatnot laying around. Like, you have some resource management coming into it, so it's different than I expected. It almost reminds me more of a horror game mechanically, but without the horror skin and kind of more of a sci-fi thriller thrown on top.
Interesting.
But it does have some fucking great moments, like the vending machine that upgrades your weapons and gear.
Vending machine. Oh god, like Bioshock, you know?
Yeah, but like she says some shit that is probably not okay to say to people. Like it's fucking hilarious. But like you're watching your protagonist basically verbally assaulted by this vending machine and made to feel incredibly uncomfortable. And there's a bunch of little things in there that they're pretty neat. Has little bits of humor, not thrown in your face, but it's got a lot of ambiance. It's got some replayability, but it's definitely a throwback. Like there are safe rooms that you go into. Like you know, everything's fucking deadly, and then you pop into this little safe room, and there's a little recording device, a little vending machine, and you pop off in your way and doing your stuff again. I wouldn't say it's Bioshock good, but I'd say it's a pretty solid game.
Nice. Yeah, Brian, you know you could follow up on that. What do you think of Atomic Heart?
I'm mostly in line with Brett. I think it's really good. I've not played the Bioshock games, but I played Infinite, which I don't know if people class that as a real Bioshock.
I don't know if that would count. Not.
Yeah, so I seem to play like the wrong games in the franchises. I don't really feel that the Bioshock comparison is right, because I feel like people just seen it like, oh yeah, you can shoot ice from your hand, ergo Bioshock. Because to me, it feels more like the Prey games, or even closer to like Half-Life, where the game's actually difficult. It was weird, because like I was playing for like half an hour and then I died, and it's like, huh, I died. It's like, okay, cool. Well, maybe it's just like bad luck on my side, and then I reload the save and then I died again. It's like, huh, is the game actually hard, or am I just shit? It's like, nah, hold on. So yeah, it's actually interestingly fun to play. It's actually quite a challenge, like even on normal mode. Like normal mode feels like what normal mode should be, in that it's actually challenging rather than just, yeah, just walk through the game, you'll be fine. But yeah, I totally agree with Brett. The vending machine is just... The vending machine made me feel like incredibly awkward, that I just don't want to be there. You know, it's like seeing that one ex who's just extra. And it's like, oh no, I don't want to be anywhere near you. Like just that one person. It's like, no, it's too much. You know, it's like when you have the aunt that just gets drunk and just gets really weird about everything. It's like, no, she's doing it again. Seriously. But at the same time, I guess it got the desired effect, you know, that's meant to make you feel uncomfortable. So it's like, yeah, that's great. Again, I did not see the resource management. I missed that, but I'm like, okay, cool. I can deal with that. And yeah, I don't really have many complaints. I don't see Adam's complaint saying that the intro was too long. I thought the intro was, again, to me, it felt like the same length of an intro as most other games. It's just that in most other games, you're usually like holding the stick forward. Like take Dad of War. That's a really long intro scene. And even if you count the part where you're just holding forward, it's still really long. And if you take the holding the stick forward out of that, it's about the same length, maybe even longer, than Atomic Heart is. So I didn't see the whole like, oh yeah, it's too long. Like, no, it's just letting you know what's up and what's going on, which I thought was really cool, though, the way that they did the transition where they did the reveal about where you are at the start, Brett. I thought that was pretty cool, because the whole time I thought like, okay, I am here, and then just zooms out and it's like, oh no, you are here now. It's like, oh.
Yeah, they do a really good job on like the world, like even just when they kind of introduce to the world, when they kind of peel back that film and you're like, okay, so I'm like in a little park somewhere, some shit that's going on. I'm like, yeah, like are you talking about when the crane thing grabs you?
No, when you again, I think it's like the first maybe 20 minutes when you jump inside the car.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that bit. Then yeah. Not gonna say anything because it's actually a really cool reveal, but like it's a neat moment to kind of be like, you start definitely real boots on the ground, and as you kind of start to get this grand view of things, you're like, okay, wow, this is a whole. It's kind of like Bioshock, but instead of the beginning where they're telling you like, oh, check it out, it's Rapture, you kind of see and you're like, oh, this is not my history. This is a different history.
This is very different. Well, yeah, I think it's quite good so far. It's on the list of. I think it's the next game I'll be playing, because I just finished the other game this evening, actually. Gone Grave Goal. Never heard of it. I seen like a trailer for it like last year, and I thought, oh, this is like some dumb, stupid, just...
So you never heard of the original Gone Grave?
Nope. That was before my time.
Oh, I played that on PS2.
Yeah, that PS2 game was shit, man.
Yeah.
I remember they like re-released it for like PS4, I think, and I had to review it for STFU and Play. I'm like, this game is garbage.
Never heard of it. Never heard of the game. I just seen like a quick clip where this guy's just like excusing people and dancing over them and whatnot. And it's like, okay, this game looks stupid fun. Let's play it. Played it. It's exactly what I thought it was. Stupid fun. It probably has good replayability in there, but I'm not going to replay it because, for the most part, I want to play some other stuff. So... I guess if you like that game, it's there and it exists, but yeah, whatever. Atomic Heart. I want to jump on that, and then eventually I'll get back to Hi-Fi Rush. It seems like Hi-Fi Rush has now been like knocked off the top spot by this, and then Forspoken has like been kicked down the curb again to like just at some point in the future I will play it, but not now. But yeah, and that's about it. Nothing else. I have been, I'm sure Brett might know about this, or maybe even Chris, that Wulong game that's coming out sometime soon.
A Diet Souls?
Diet Souls. Yeah. Is it a Souls Light?
Hey, we take what we can get.
It's just like a corner Chinese food. It's like, that was good, but I'm still hungry, man.
You know, no, you get, you're full when, after you finish it, then an hour later you're hungry. That's how it works. You know? It's like, wait, what happened, you know? But yeah, Chris, what you been playing, man?
Oh, I'm going for that Dead Space Platinum. I only have one more.
Oh, shit.
I'm doing impossible mode now.
Oh, good luck with that, man. That shit was brutal, man. Before, you know?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Listen, the secret is turn off the cloud sync. Yo, and just put your save once in a while. Just put that shit up there. So, because if you die in impossible mode, it puts you right back at the beginning.
Yeah.
You have to start all over again. So fuck that. Just, you know, sneak. It lets you sneak that save up there. It's, you know, just keep it. Don't let it sink. Just turn off the auto sync.
You do what you got to do, man.
You inch your way up. Yeah, I ain't got time for that.
Good stuff. All right, man. We are done here. Good stuff. Good stuff. Before we go, I want to give a quick shout out to Cigar Goyle, my homeboy AJ. You know AJ, obviously, Brett.
I was gonna say, I know that name.
Yes, you do. So I was actually on his podcast yesterday, which is called the Cigar Goyle Lounge, talking about video games. It was a lot of fun, you know. So shout out to that brother. I talk to him every day. Like, we're always texting about metal and stuff, you know. Like, I don't think there's a day that goes by I don't talk to AJ in some way or form, you know. So shout out to him, man. Yeah, he's good people, man. Had a lot of fun with him last night. So yeah, shout out to that. I'll you know, look at my Twitter timeline. I'm gonna retweet that whenever he posts it. I believe it might be up live now, but you know, I'll make sure you guys check it out. It was a lot of conversations. We kind of artfully circumvented the whole Hogwarts controversy. You know, AJ was trying to pull me in. I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it. But I'm happy people are enjoying the game. I'll say that about it. And the game, you know, looks fucking nice. It really does. But yeah, anything. Oh yeah, Carlos, Last of Us.
Yeah, if you guys want to hear some reviews and recaps of the Last of Us TV show, make sure to go to The Coalition Gaming on YouTube or thecoalition.com. That's The Coalition with a K, to get our reviews for The Last of Us. It's hosted by Richard Bailey Jr., Adam Vail, and myself. And we last talked about The Last of Us Episode 6, which is, or Episode 7, one of those. This is it, like Adam says. This is it. Two more episodes left until the season ends, and it's been good. Been good ride. So if you guys want to hear us, hear our thoughts and our discussions, please make sure to check us out on The Coalition Gaming YouTube.
The coalition. What just happened? The most loony is not following on Twitch. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. I literally just finished talking to him on Twitter right now. He's like, oh, I didn't know you stream. I've been streaming for over 10 years, you know? but you know, there's, I always get new followers. So I got to remember just to post that, because people just sometimes think, actually, I'm glad he just thought I was a writer, because most people think I'm just a streamer. You know, I'm like, I don't make money off this shit, you know? Mm-hmm. it's crazy, man, the way that works, you know? Anyway, man, make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord, where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can also find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Mongioma.
So it looks like you can get rid of STDs. It just takes about 6-7 years.
about. I don't even know what the fuck he has mentioned. Oh, we gotta talk
STD.
About
that.
No, I know what STDs are, but like, what is this in reference to?
Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, 5 years in this case, you know. Oh, man. Bullshit show. All right, people. We'll see you on Sunday. Later.
Peace.